Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So we're going to chant Prabhupada's pranam mantras and Hare Krishna, accompanied by a guitar. Actually, usually when we use a guitar, we don't need cartels. We can clap our hands. It's actually better with a guitar.
What do you want me to
do?
Krishna, 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 Krish
someone who loves. He's all glories.
He's
all glories. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilpopad Ki Jai. So, Om Aganath Sivadandasya Gavanjana Shilakaya Chakshur Udmiritam Yena Tasvai Shri Guru Maha. So, what I'd like to speak about this afternoon, and I hope everyone can understand English, except for a few people in the back, is this is the celebration this year of the 50th anniversary of the founding by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada of ISKCON. So I'd like to talk about Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master who I met in 1971 and who came to the West in 1965 and started ISKCON in 1966. So, let's talk a little philosophically first. There is a category, a philosophical Vedic category called Avatar. Anyone's heard the word Avatar before? Anyone seen the movie Avatar? No? Then you're a liar. What can I say? Even I've seen the movie. I'm a sannyasi, so. Avatar is raised us to evade the Roja Maha. As your guru asked, you should also ask. Anyway, so. Of course, in that movie, they use the word avatar improperly. Because the word avatar means two things. Avatar, ava, and tar. So ava means coming down. And tar means to cross. So the word means, basically, someone who comes down, crosses down, or technically a down crosser. That's an interesting word. And someone who comes down, not from a building, you know, jumping from the floor, top story of a building, like you jump from here. That's not an avatar. I guess technically you could say you're an avatar if you jump in the building. Or if you're a parachute jumper, you know, you jump from airplanes, then you're an avatar. But technically speaking, or realistically speaking, avatar means someone who comes from the spiritual world. And there's many different types of avatars. You have Krishna, who is an avatar who comes down from the spiritual world. He's God. And he comes down at other times too, like 5,000 years ago he came down, and then he came down 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya, millions of years ago as Lord Ram, and I don't know the exact date, as Lord Narsingha, Varaha, Korma, you have to look up the dates. But anyway, he comes down at different times. That's Krishna. But in addition to Krishna coming down at different times, he sends other people. And one of those persons, or type of persons, let's go into categories first, is what's called a Shaktivesh avatar. And that's a fancy word in Sanskrit, and I want to define it. Shakta, or Shakti, let's say Shakti, means potency. Just like if you put your finger into the PowerPoint, you will get a shock. That's Shakti. Right? You get a shock. When I was young, I would play with the PowerPoints on the wall. And nowadays, they have covers for them for children, right? And then I would get shocked, and I got Shakti. So, Shakti basically means power. But that type of power I got was not a nice type of power. But the Shak, or Shakti we're talking about, is a power to do something in this world for the service of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna sends people down with different powers. Just like we hear about superpowers. Any of you seen these movies with superpowers? You're not that far off. So you have these, nowadays it's very popular, you have superheroes, right? Nobody knows what that is, anyway. So they have some sort of power. And God, or Krishna, he gives different people powers to do different things. One thing he gives people powers to do is be a king sometimes. There's one incarnation or avatar of Krishna called Prithu. And he was a great king. He wasn't God, but he was empowered or given the power by Krishna so he could act. And that's a type of incarnation of God called Shaktavesh avatar. You don't have to remember the terms. At least avatar. So what happens is that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Okay, 5,000 years ago Krishna appeared, and Krishna spoke what was written down in a book. Does anyone know what book I'm talking about? No, it's the Bhagavad Gita. No one's heard of Bhagavad Gita. We're in trouble now. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God. Bhagavan, he was full of all opulence. All right, so Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. One of the things he said in Bhagavad Gita is that many, many, many millions of years ago, I spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna explains why he has to speak it again. He says, but in the course of time, he explains that the knowledge, previous time he spoke Bhagavad Gita, knowledge was passed down from spiritual master to disciple, and they were pretty far out spiritual masters and disciples, like Sun God, Vivaswan, Manu, Vishwaku. I'm not going to get into who they were, but they were really powerful entities. But he says it was lost. Because any time you have any type of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, or material knowledge, if you pass it from teacher to student, student becomes the next teacher, then his student becomes the next teacher, then his student becomes the next teacher. After a while, you can't recognize what was taught, comparing it from the beginning, with the beginning teacher. So same thing happened with the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. It was lost. So Krishna said to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna is the person that Krishna is talking to in the Bhagavad Gita, his devotee and friend, Krishna says, because it was lost, I'm telling you again the whole knowledge. Okay. And so, okay, that was 5,000 years ago. And guess what? It gets lost sometimes too. I mean, there's a disciplic succession, but people start to misunderstand things after some time. So Krishna has to arrange for different people to come down, these type of avatars that I mentioned. Of course, right after Krishna, there was Srila Vyasadeva who compiled the Vedic literatures. And, of course, even before that, it was Narada, Vyas, the disciplic succession. And then we have this whole disciplic succession that's passed down. And many of the members of the disciplic succession are avatars. That's interesting. Vyasadeva is an avatar, for example. Narada Muni is a Shaktavesh avatar. And so, then let's come to the present time. Right before, let's say, in the 1700s and 1800s, pretty much Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness was misunderstood by many people. It became something that was very confusing, and people were misusing it. Just like you see in any religion, that there is always a pure person who starts the religion. Let's take Christianity, for example. Jesus Christ is an avatar. He came down, the Son of God, came down from the spiritual world to save people. And he taught something. His followers tried to teach what he was teaching. And then you have, anyway, I'm not going to get into theology, but you have people who pretty much changed everything. So now what you have, as Christianity in most places, is completely, if Jesus Christ were to come, he wouldn't recognize it. And even Buddhism is like that too. Now, Buddha is another type of avatar. Buddha taught so many things. He never taught Zen Buddhism. He never taught Mahayana Buddhism. If it doesn't know about Buddhism. Buddha taught psychology. He never said there's no soul. Although his present followers will tell you that he said there's no soul. But, so anyway, so what you have now is Buddhism is not recognizable, basically, except for a few little details, as Buddhism, as Buddha taught many, many years ago, actually, probably
approximately 2,500 years ago. But anyway, and every religion's like that. So they're, because people have their own motives, and so they contaminate the religion or the understanding of the religion. So Krishna has to keep sending down these avatars again and again. Even in the Bible, those of you who know about the Bible, Krishna says, I appear at various and sundry places. That's one of the quotes in the Old Testament of the Bible. And so he has to keep sending down people. So let's say in the 1800s, he sent down someone named Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay. He started to straighten things out. Then after that, of course, there was Guru Prasadas Babaji Maharaj, who didn't do much preaching, but he was a great pure devotee, and his disciple was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known, he was also Shaktivesh Avatar. He came from the spiritual world. He was a ray of Vishnu. His father prayed. Actually, if you want a Shaktivesh Avatar, here's the way to do it. When the parents want a child, they just pray for Krishna to send a Shaktivesh Avatar. Some of you parents, people who are going to get married, can try that. So, and you may get a Shaktivesh Avatar if you're lucky. What is that? Does that mean I have to stop right now? Or? Oh, that's the phone ringing. Yeah. Don't turn it off because
I'm just doing
because
the sound.
I'm using the internet on.
I'm just going to turn the sound off.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. At least it was a sitar. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed for a ray of Vishnu, and his son was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then another Shaktivesh avatar appeared after Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that was Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in Calcutta in 1896, and from his very birth, there's certain signs that someone's a Shaktivesh avatar. He never did anything deviation from Krishna consciousness in any way. He was worshipping Radha and Krishna from his very birth. And at 5 years old, he conducted a Rath Yatra ceremony. I mean, how many children at 5 years old conduct a Rath Yatra ceremony? What do you think, Baladevi? Were any of your children ready to conduct a Rath Yatra ceremony? No. So, I mean, these are signs of someone who came from the spiritual world. And so, Srila Prabhupada, this is also a story of a great hero. I'm fine. You don't have to talk on the phone now during the class. Uh-oh. Don't turn it off. This is a story of a great hero that many times Shaktivesh Avatar appears and he doesn't manifest everything immediately. So when Srila Prabhupada was 20-something years old, he met his spiritual master in Calcutta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and got his life's mission. So throughout his whole life, he was planning, his life's mission was to come to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness. So throughout his whole life, he was planning on how to execute that mission. And he went through many trials and tribulations. His family was opposed to his Krishna consciousness, or opposed to his preaching Krishna consciousness. His wife took his spiritual books, the Bhagavatam, and sold them for tea biscuits. His wife told him that she'd rather have tea than him. Yeah, that was more important for her. So he, and his business went bankrupt. So many things, but he remained determined to carry out the order of the spiritual master. And finally, in 1965, after many trials and tribulations, publishing books without any money to publish books, he had to give up eating and practically all his personal conveniences in order to publish these Bhagavatams, these three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. He boarded a ship, a steamship, which means a freighter, coming to the United States and enduring heart attacks on the way over. Krishna assured him, coming over, that he would be protected. Krishna manifested himself in his various incarnations as rowing the boat to help Srila Prabhupada cross the ocean. And then Srila Prabhupada arrives in a foreign country not knowing which way to turn. And Srila Prabhupada, taking shelter of Krishna's holy names, approaches people in the most degraded situation, which are called pickles at that time. And the movement starts by Prabhupada's spiritual potency. Also, Prabhupada said that many of his followers, the initial followers, were placed in the Western world so they could join him when he came to the West, because he only had 11 years of preaching or 11 years of spreading the movement in order to accomplish his mission. So this is a real hero. Srila Prabhupada is our hero in the Krishna consciousness movement. And this year we are commemorating his starting the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that's what a Shaktivesha avatar is. Now, as far as our being Krishna conscious, of course, we may not be Shaktivesha avatars. We may be, whatever the Sanskrit word is, from coming from below rather than from above. So we may be the opposite, crossing from below. But the way we progress in Krishna consciousness is by following the example of these great personalities as role models. Everybody, at least most of us, I can't say everybody, that's an absolute term, most of us have role models in life, someone we'd like to be like. And for those who are young, someone we'd like to be like when we grow up. Radha, who would you like to be like when you grow up? Krishna. Not like Krishna, hopefully. Like your spiritual master. Yeah, that's good. That's the right answer. You get a good grade. So, I'm not going to ask anyone else. So, I mean, some people like to be like a politician, some people like to be like Donald Trump. Anyway, whatever. So, but we all function on the basis of role models. In the beginning, it's our parents. You know, people emulate their parents, then it's their friends, and then hopefully it becomes progressive, something higher. So Srila Prabhupada is a role model for us. Srila Prabhupada appeared as an acharya. That's another word you should understand. Acharya means one who sets an example. Now, oftentimes in religion, you find someone, an avatar starts a movement or religion, and people elevate him. Of course, he's already elevated, but they put him in their minds to such a high status that no one can be like him. No one can follow or do what he did. And so, therefore, he becomes their savior rather than someone who teaches them what to do. And we see this in many religions, and, of course, Christianity is like that, and many other religions, that you don't, and many people say, you don't have to do anything, you're just saved. You just believe and you'll be saved. Well, belief is not enough. Like a criminal believes in the government or the police, right? Like, let's say you're driving a car. I believe that there's policemen, but I'm still going to try to speed if I can get away with it. Just like I was reading today about somebody who went through the red light so many times they got tickets. You know, in certain countries, there's cameras at the red light so they can see when you go through the red light. So you believe it, but you try to get away. So, simply believing in God or believing in Prabhupada doesn't get you anywhere. You know, I believe. You know, so, we see in practically every religion the founder becomes put to such a high position that he's no longer relevant to your life. He's just like, oh, he's great, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone's fallen. I've seen that happen even within ISKCON sometimes. And, of course, in other religions. So we have to understand that Prabhupada is our exemplar, example, acharya. Now, we can't do exactly as Prabhupada did. We're not a surrendered issue of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada's example of compassion, Prabhupada's example of self-sacrifice to help others, dedicating your life for the welfare of others, and that's the example of Jesus Christ. That's the example of every great personality since time immemorial. And so this is what should inspire us. So all of us should read and understand the Prabhupada's life. We have the Prabhupada Lilamrita, which is the study of Prabhupada's life. We have so many biographies that have been written about Prabhupada. And personally, Prabhupada is my personal inspiration that keeps me going, my personal relationship with him. And the other thing is that with someone like Prabhupada or pure devotee, you're never separated from them. You follow their example, and then you're always with them. And if you don't follow their example, you're not with them. Because spiritual relationships, like Prabhupada was asked one time, what about your relationship with your spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, I'm never separated from him. I'm always with him. So that's another thing that occurs in the relationship with Prabhupada, the relationship with pure devotees. So that's what personally keeps me inspired in spiritual life. The personal relationship. The spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, is personal. It's not just based on some ethereal concept of self-realization or understanding you're not the body. I mean, of course, we do understand theoretically we're not the body, but it's based on having a personal relationship with Krishna, a personal relationship with Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and other great devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. And that's inspiring. And that makes us enthusiastic and gives us the ability to follow the practice and processes of Krishna consciousness. So that's my glorification of Prabhupada. I got told that I can't go too long, right? So I want to take some questions. If anyone has questions. I felt inspired to glorify Prabhupada today. Yes.
When you mentioned that we need to take example of Prabhupada, what's in situation when we feel like Prabhupada is so higher than
That's the point I was making. Prabhupada is so high, then it doesn't become relevant to our own lives. Prabhupada is very high. But we're not supposed to just simply think, oh, it's just like it's so far out there. I mean, like Krishna, for example. Krishna, you can take him like that, because you're not supposed to follow Krishna's example. Those of you who are men are not supposed to have your rasa dance over them. You're not supposed to have rasa dances at night. You're not supposed... Well, you can play a flute, I guess, if you study. My mother plays a flute, but really badly. So you can... I mean, certain things you can do, but you can't declare yourself to be God. Krishna is not there to set a good example for us. Krishna, and many things he does in Vrindavan are horrible. Shouldn't, don't steal butter. Don't pinch babies. You know, so Krishna is, you know, put Krishna, God, up there. But Krishna's devotees come down to inspire us by their actions. So, Prabhupada wanted all of us to carry out the same activities that he carried out. Prabhupada wanted us to write about Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada wanted us to open up temples. Prabhupada wanted us to inspire others about Krishna consciousness, to make our families Krishna conscious. It's not that Prabhupada or love of Prabhupada can be used as an excuse for not being Krishna conscious. Or as a free ride. You understand free ride? Free ride means, let's say you don't have to pay for it. You know, just surrender to Prabhupada and everything will be taken care of. So it's important to study the lives and then be inspired to not copy exactly, but to follow in the footsteps of those great personalities. Like Prabhupada's dedication and his love for Krishna and his willingness to sacrifice for others. Is that alright? So any questions or comments? And we all need to find role models too. And Prabhupada's there, and many of you have other spiritual masters. I mean, of course, all of you have other spiritual masters. Everyone accepts Prabhupada as a role model, but you have other people as role models too. People who have dedicated their life to spiritual life. That makes Krishna consciousness really down to earth for us. Trying to please someone, trying to be like someone, really is, it's inspirational. It just gives us enthusiasm and inspiration in spiritual life. That's the key. I mean, that's my key to spiritual life. And I've been doing Krishna consciousness since joined the society in 1971. And it's just my key. As soon as I met Prabhupada, here is someone so compassionate, I want to be like him. Think about that. Then, it's practical. Krishna consciousness is practical. So, any questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Please,
could you tell us something about Srila Prabhupada's books? He wrote many.
Yeah. I mean, Srila Prabhupada wrote, I think, 60-some-odd big books. And he received instruction from his spiritual master that if you ever get any money, you know, print and distribute books. Because he felt that books, and it's a fact, that books can affect a change in society. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, one of his primary books, it stated that this literature is meant for creating a revolution in the lives of a misdirected civilization. Because Srila Prabhupada's books are not simply just some philosophical knowledge. They'd have that too. But they contain within them, because they've been written and translated by a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual Shakti. Because we were talking about Shaktivesh. Actually, that's an interesting question. Thank you for asking the question, because it brings up this point. That we all want to have that Shakti, or that power, or that potency. So when you come in touch with the powerhouse, like if you put your plug into the PowerPoint, you get that power. So when you're in touch with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada through his words, then that Shakti comes to you. There was one great Vaishnava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who stated, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. So the sound vibration coming from a great devotee like Prabhupada, even through books, what to speak of recordings, have that spiritual potency. Prabhupada one time said that the words of a pure devotee have within them the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's, and also another statement by the another avatar, Kapila Dev, states that when you take the sound vibrations in through your ear, they go right to your heart. And they give you that spiritual energy, that spiritual potency. So you can also become empowered. You may not be a Shaktivesh avatar, maybe next life, if you go up there. Like Prabhupada said, that he was in the spiritual world, and Krishna came to him and said, you have to go to the material world to write and distribute books. And Prabhupada first said, what? How can I go to that place? That's the place we're in right now, in case you haven't figured that out. So Prabhupada said, how can I go to that place? And Krishna said, no, you have to go there. That's compassion. And so we can also get that potency from Prabhupada. And I saw so many devotees, so many of my godbrothers and godsisters become empowered to act. Maybe not equal to Prabhupada, but manifesting Prabhupada's potency. One godbrother who has since passed away, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I saw him do amazing things. Amazing things that were, in one sense, humanly not possible. You know, austerities, affecting people's consciousness, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And we can all become empowered like that. We can all become leaders. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, he would instruct people that everyone should become a guru. Now, all of you can become gurus. Wouldn't that be exciting? You can all be sitting here. I mean, it sounds impossible, but what was I before? I was just whatever it was. Anyways. And I still consider myself an ordinary person, but the point is, by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm sitting here. You know, and that's my qualification, that I'm simply serving Prabhupada. So when you get that power, potency, appointment, you can save humanity. I mean, right now we're facing the situation of the world where there's so much conflict, so many problems, so many issues. I mean, I was talking the other day to a devotee about all the different problems in the world, and she was getting scared and started shaking and everything. Anyway, I was speaking to her about it. Remember? Oh, you weren't there then. I just, oh yeah, you were. And she said, oh my God, oh my God. No, that was the car. No, but I was speaking to her yesterday. I mean, you weren't there. I'm telling her about this problem in the world. She said, oh my God, I'm so scared, Maharaj. Don't talk like that. I have bad dreams. So, the world is not in a good condition right now. So, we can all be saviors. Isn't that nice? Think like that. Think of becoming a hero. That's inspiring. Gives us a vision. Gives us a purpose in life. I mean, if we go through our... If we talk to each other, what is our purpose in life? One of the reasons I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement is because I thought, what is my purpose in life? I asked my mother, she said, your purpose is to please me. I said, that doesn't... My purpose is to please you? I said, no, tell me something else. He said, your purpose is to become a doctor. I said, what? So you can make money. Why? So you can have a big house. Why? So you can have a big family. Why? So you can have nice cars. No, why? Not anymore. And finally, she threw me out of the house. So, no, she didn't. But, so what is our purpose? I mean, what, everyone should think, you know, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? You know, what is my long-term purpose? What is my short-term purpose? And a life without purpose is a life that's boring. And it's not inspiring. Is it? My life has no purpose. So each and every one of us should ask ourselves that question. So, any other questions? Because otherwise I think we have a time, we're time bound, right? Questions, comments? Yes.
Kot vidimo je Prabhupada takrat v tistem času, ki je prišel, to znanje predal hippijam.
As we see, Srila Prabhupada, when he came, he gave this knowledge to hippies.
Yes.
Yeah. In to pomeni, da v bistvu se je zelo znal prilagoditi tedanjemu času in kulturi, v katerem so živeli.
So that means that he was able to adapt to the culture that people lived in at that time.
Yes.
Kako je to v bistvu pomembno tudi za nas tukaj v tem svetu, zahodem, da se predavatelji lahko v bistvu isto prilagodijo tem času, kateri živimo sedaj in kulturi.
To je vprašanje?
Ja, to je vprašanje. Kako je to pomembno? V bistvu je pomembno. In,
so how important it is to also today that lecturers are deft to
the present culture.
This present culture.
I think it's extremely important that we present Krishna consciousness in terms of the culture where we're presenting it. In other words, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get people to chant Hare Krishna, offer their food to Krishna. We're not trying to get everyone to wear a dhoti. I mean, I have some disciples who I ordered never to wear dhotis. That's interesting. Because the one time they wore a dhoti, they broke something. They tripped on it. And I got so upset. They were wearing dhoti. It was actually my bag. You know, they carried it to the airport and had a handle and tripped, fell all over. I said, you are not permitted to wear a dhoti in this lifetime. And he was from India. That's the funny thing. So, we have to make people comfortable. We're trying to get people to hear Krishna Katha and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, what are we trying to do? We're not trying to establish a new style of dress, are we? You know, why? Why? And if we're thinking big, I mean, there will be a few people who will be attracted to wearing different, you know, ethnic clothes. You know, ethnic clothes, but most people will want to be Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada said. Whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. And if you look at the early days of the movement, when Prabhupada was in 26th Second Avenue, people were dressed, you know, in all sorts of different ways. They would play the bass drum for kirtan. they had a piano that turned on its end, they were strumming the strings. And Prabhupada was very open and tolerant about that. So, Prabhupada was expert in adapting to time, place, and circumstance, rather than imposing something. And the devotees, of course, naturally, many of them and many of us like to dress like this, but as far as approaching people in the Western world or other places, it requires some adjustment. Yeah. Because we're not trying to present Krishna consciousness in an ethnic vehicle. These things are not in the Bhagavatam. These things are not in the Bhagavad Gita. How you have to dress, what style you have to dress in, or how you have to have your hair. Everything. These things are not there. So, then that's your question? Okay. Yeah, Krishna consciousness, but don't feel that you have to dress like this. Don't feel you have to shave your head. Don't feel anything except your four regulative principles. We still have four, when I last checked. No meat for shreds, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Went quickly through them so you wouldn't get disturbed. Pick any three. So, we still had the four. And these are the regulative principles of freedom because they free you from being controlled by karma and the modes of nature. I mean, you'll feel relieved to follow those four regulative principles. You'll feel relieved to follow those four regulative principles and chanting the holy names. You'll be happy. Krishna's there in his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Vasavigraha. So, this will make you happy. This is all you really have to do. And then other things, and reading, you'll like to read about Gita, philosophy if you're philosophically inclined, or if you like to make artwork, you can paint for Krishna. You can do almost anything for Krishna. If you like music, play the guitar for Krishna. The whole world is open. Whatever your nature is, you can do it for Krishna. And you don't really have to change so many aspects of your lifestyle in order to do that. If we want our movement, to expand dramatically instead of just a few people sitting in this room, we want to have all of Slovenia, all of everywhere be Krishna conscious, or at least most of the people. You want to elect a Slovenia Krishna conscious prime minister. Actually, you've had a president who was almost Krishna conscious before. And I met him in Norship. Yeah, he was very nice. I met him and I talked about Krishna consciousness. This is years ago before any of you were born. So I spent a long time with him talking about Krishna consciousness, vegetarianism, and he was really a nice person. He's one of the nicest persons I've ever met. Really simple, humble, nice person. So it's possible if we present Krishna consciousness like that, then people will be naturally attracted. Because it is attractive. Krishna is attractive. He's the most attractive person. He's the strongest, wealthiest. Like we talk about superheroes, Krishna is the strongest superhero. He's the wealthiest superhero. He's the most intelligent superhero. Why are we attracted to people? Because they're strong, wealthy, intelligent, famous, etc. Renounced. And that's Krishna. So who will not be attracted to Krishna? And then who will not be attracted to Krishna's devotees who are exhibiting saintly qualities? When people exhibit saintly qualities of compassion and love and tolerance, everyone likes that. Almost everyone. So, do we have to start prasadam now? Or?
Yes.
Okay, my keepers say that see that we have to start prasadam because we have a program at the temple tonight. We're doing a presentation. Continuing presentation on the book that I just wrote about communication, empathy, and communication. So we have a schedule. So then we'll take prasadam now. Thank you very much, all, for listening. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.